Well, praise God. Carol really, she does this to me sometimes. She didn't know, but I was thinking exactly the same thing that she said at the start of the meeting. Isn't it nice to know that we are brothers and sisters? There's something really special for us as Christians because we're such a oneness. I wish you'd agree with me a bit more readily. Because whether you agree or not, it's the truth. We are one in spirit, and that's where it matters. We might differ in the flesh, in our sizes and shapes and colors or whatever, but in spirit, we are essentially one. Ooh, that's nice. That's nice. Hallelujah. I have to just say something before I start, and there's not much time. But the Lord really laid on my heart to bring something to you, which might not be so easy for you to receive some. But I want to challenge you as a congregation. Are you sheep or are you donkeys? I want to challenge you, brothers, sisters. Are you sheep or are you donkeys? You see, sheep follow the shepherd where the shepherd wants to go. Donkeys very often want to go where they want to go. Or even worse than that, they dig those hooves in and they don't want to move an inch. And you can shove and push and pull and kick and bung, and they won't move an eyelid. Some members of congregations are donkeys. They refuse point blank to go where the pastor wants to go. Over the most stupid of items and things, it doesn't matter whether they move the piano from the left to the right or whether the flowers are there or the flowers are there. There's all kinds of rubbish in our churches. I want to challenge you. Don't be a donkey. You see, a donkey is like an anchor on a ship. If there are people in the congregation who dig their heels in and refuse to move, they're like an anchor on a ship. And the whole ship is disrupted, if not stopped, because of a few. Now, this is the word of the Lord to you today. It's not part of the sermon. It wasn't planned. This is the word of the Lord to you today. The Lord is looking for sheep. Faithful sheep who will follow a good shepherd. Not donkeys who will try and assert their own authority and steer the ship the way they want it to go. You see, it can never be true in our church that the sheep lead the shepherd. You see, that's exactly the wrong way. There is only one beneficiary from that attitude, and it's Satan. That's it. Okay. So I challenge you. Don't be a donkey. Be a sheep. Be a faithful sheep. Help your pastor along. He carries enough weight, you know. He has to spot where the green grass is and get there. And all you have to do is follow him. So don't be an extra burden to him. Help him. Bless him. Give to him. Make his life a joy, eh? And not like a pastor's life. All right. Now, yesterday we had the privilege of talking to lots of musicians and singers from several churches. And what Colin and Carol speak about quite a lot is praise and worship, because it's dear to our hearts. But there are two sides to every coin, you know. And the biggest side of the coin is the congregation. You know, there may be 10 musicians up front. If you're a really blessed church, you'd have 10. Ooh. Oh, to have 10. But you see, there might be 100 in the congregation. So it's really important to talk to congregations about praise and worship too. Because it helps if the sheep know what's expected of them and if they have some inkling of where they're going. I want to give you just a couple of pointers this morning as a congregation for praise and worship. And I'm going to start by it's kind of a practical thing, but I want you to imagine that you're going on a journey. And we can all do that because we do it every day, don't we? Imagine you're going on a journey. Will you come and operate the thing for me? What's the first thing? The first thing you need to know when you're going on a journey is where you're going. Is that silly or is this too deep? We won't get deep today. The first thing you need to know when you're going on a journey is where you are going. So, set out with a purpose. Now, you wouldn't think of this in praise and worship, but believe me, praise and worship is a journey. There is a progression. There is a start. There is a goal. Okay? There's a start, but there's no end. But there is a goal. Okay? So set out with a purpose. When you come to church, come with an attitude to give. You will receive. You know God's promise, give and you will receive. So come with an attitude to give. Essentially to one another, but also to God. You see, very often we come with just an attitude to receive. We come to be blessed. And God is very gracious, you know. Our God is so gracious. He blesses his people. We heard last night, God loves his people. He loves his people with a great passion. But come with an attitude to give. Make that a purpose. Set out on your journey with a purpose. Okay? Know your destination. How many of you know what the destination is for you as a worshiper when you come to worship the Lord? Your destination is to get into God's presence. By fair means or foul, you want to get into God's presence because there's no better place for you to be than in God's presence. So, set out with a purpose, know your destination, and above all, don't mess about on the way. Don't mess about on the way. Don't get sidetracked. Don't worry about what the preacher's wearing. Or the woman who's next door to you, or whatever. Don't worry about things like that. Set out with a purpose. Your purpose is to get into God's presence. Don't meander along the way. Very important. Next one, sweetheart. And the next two. Aim. Make it your aim to actually arrive at your destination. Don't be content with half measures when it comes to praise and worship because it's important to your spiritual and physical life. Praise and worship is food for you. Worship, when you get into God's presence, it feeds you. It feeds your spirit. So don't be content with half measures. Okay? Set your heart on the goal. Now, I'll just read you a scripture. It's from Psalm 100 and verse 4. You can turn there if you want to, but I'll read it to you anyway. Psalm 100 and verse 4 says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." Now, there are three things I want to just very quickly touch on. The first one is thanksgiving. Now listen, this is the one we neglect, and this is the important one. If you're a person who is thankful, then it's almost impossible for you to be a person with a hard heart. Now switch that round the other way. If you're not a person who is thankful for the blessings and things that you've got, and your brothers and sisters, it's very easy for you to have a hard heart. And the hard-hearted ones come into the meeting and bring all their problems with them. I know we have problems, believe me. I'm a Christian too. I know. I tell you, this is a key for you this morning. When you come into church, you come with a thankful heart. And you come and you make this your purpose and your goal. You be thankful. You be thankful for the person over there who cut you up yesterday. You be thankful for the ones who said strange things to you or look at you funny. You be thankful for them and bless them according to Scripture. And the problems drop off. The problems drop away. It's the key to releasing all that grunge. Shall we say grunge? That attaches itself to our lives. When you come in with a thankful heart. You be thankful to God for your salvation. That's a good place to start. Right? That's easy. We can all be thankful for our salvation. Right? Start there and you be thankful. You thank God for your brothers and sisters. Thank God for your pastor. Thank God that you've got a nice building to come into and someone somewhere pays the money for it. Be thankful. Right? That's step number one. Most important, because you can't get to step number two while you're still carrying all the hurts and all the aggro and the whatever bits of rubbish you brought with you. While you're carrying them, it's a slow journey. So if you drop the weight off at the beginning, it makes life easier for the next bit, right? Most important, thanksgiving. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, which gets us to the next stage, praise. Now, we were talking a lot about this yesterday, but one of the areas in church life that has been neglected is praise of our God. Yes, I know we sing songs, believe me, I know. And I know we sing lots of happy, clappy songs. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we're praising our God. Many of the happy, clappy songs actually sing about us. I am, we are, we will, I do, I have, you know. But they are not necessarily praise. Praise has the effect of opening us up to God. If you like, it's coming through a door. Because when you focus on God, and that's what praise really is, and that's what praise achieves for you in your life, it focuses you on God. It's very difficult to worship God when you're still thinking about what you're going to have for dinner. I know we laugh about it and that, but we do it. We all do it. You see, our essential purpose here is to focus on God. And if you sing, I am a new creation, you're not necessarily focusing on God. Well, it's a good song. But if you're going to sing, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, do you understand there's a difference there? There's a different emphasis, a different focus. Now, we've talked to the musicians and we've beaten them up verbally about the songs they sing. So I'm not going to beat you up verbally about the songs you sing, but except when the songs change, go with it. Always go with it. So, praise is to focus on God. I was going to give you a little example of... I must get myself a smaller Bible. I can't hardly carry this one. Better than doing aerobics. Listen, this is Old Testament, but listen, this is an example of praise. I'm actually in Nehemiah, but it doesn't matter for you. It said, Blessed be your glorious name, and may it be exalted above all blessing and praise. You alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and all their starry host, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you. Do you see where the focus is? I mean, I can accentuate it here, just over the page here. It says, You saw the suffering of your forefathers in Egypt and heard their cry at the Red Sea. You sent miraculous signs and wonders against Pharaoh, against the little officials, for you knew the Egyptians and treated them, for you made your name great. Do you understand? Our focus in praise has to be Father. Has to be the Lord, Jesus Christ. Has to be God. Praise is a great way to learn about God. When newcomers come into your congregation who've just been saved, a great way for them to learn about their God is to hear you sing about it. And that's quite scriptural. Doesn't it say when you come together, each one of you can have a psalm, a hymn, even a spiritual song? And it says, speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Okay. It's also good to sing faith songs as well, like I Am a New Creation. Okay, this is stage two. Stage two, praise, is a preparation for the end of our journey, or the goal of our journey. If you turn to John chapter 4, please. John 4, verses 23 and 24. And this, for me, are the two of the most important verses for people, Christian people. Because this tells us what we are, what God's looking for, and what he wants from us. I think that's pretty good. Verse 23 says, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers... Have you ever wondered what true worshippers are? Well, think about it. The true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. If our Father is seeking a particular kind of worshipper, that means that there must be other kinds of worshipper that he is not seeking. And I say, with hand on wallet, heart, that there's a lot of the church are worshipping God in a way that he is not seeking. For a start, a lot of the church doesn't worship God in the Spirit. Look at the next verse. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. I think we have a great privilege as born-again believers that we have God's spirit, and it's by his spirit that we cry, Abba, Father, you know? And he has enabled us and given us everything that we need to worship him in spirit and in truth. Why is it that you think so much of the church is anti-Holy Spirit? The larger part in England, by miles of religion, we'll call it, not Christianity, we'll call it religion, is totally anti-Holy Spirit. Who is the beneficiary of a church being against the Holy Spirit? Well, that tells you where it comes from. And that gives you the reason. Satan has had it easy for far too long, you know. It's about time we stood up and kicked him in the face. The true worshippers. The word true means dependable. The dependable worshippers. Be dependable. Turn up on time. It sounds so silly, but this is just a practical little talk. Turn up on time. Be faithful in your praise and your worship to God, in your private times as well. Don't just wait to come to church to praise the Lord. Do it, whatever you're doing, washing the dishes, whatever. Praise God faithfully. Be faithful to him. He's so faithful to you, you know. So do that. And the word there, and verse 23... The Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. The word truth there, the main meaning of that word, truth, means freedom from error. It doesn't mean lies, like I thought it meant. It means freedom from error. And if there's one area of our church where there is error, it's in praise and worship. Look at the songs you sing. And see how much error there is in the lyrics. Or there are in the lyrics. Whatever. You look and see there are things which are totally anti-scripture. And we sing them like good uns. We sing away because it's a song. I tell you, if you look carefully at what you feed yourself with and make sure that it's wholesome food, your life will improve. That's right. Your spiritual metabolism will come up. You will. You'll find more joy. You'll find more peace. You'll find more vitality. because you'll constantly be feeding your spirit with the truth. And what does the truth do? You see how important it is that we sing the truth as well as preach it and read it in books? The easiest way to get something into someone's mind is to sing it. It's the best memory aid that there is. You'll remember songs. We just had VE Day, haven't we? 50 years celebration, right? And Vera Lynn, still alive, bless her heart, came out. She sang the song, you know, whatever. We'll meet again. And for everyone who was there 50 years ago, every memory came flooding back. Every thought, the smells, the sounds, the ones who died, everything came back. Song, music, and song is a great memory aid. It works against you as well as for you. If you sing a falsehood, that goes in with just the same power as a truth. So don't sing songs that tell you what you're not, or try to tell you something that you're not. You know, I gave this yesterday. We had one in our church, which a song. One line in the song says, "Make us more than conquerors." Okay, well, that sounds like a nice prayer. God's word states absolute clearly in black and white that we have been made more than conquerors. So at least at best it's stupid to ask God to do what he's already done. Why are you going to do that? There's no value in asking God to do what he already has done. But at worst, it will make some people think that they're not yet more than a conqueror. I mean, it's a little thing, but it's an example, okay? Worship. The third stage is worship. I don't know if there's a third. Is there a third stage on there? Yeah. Now, worship is essentially intimate. Now, there's one or two things about being intimate, which are so obvious, but we don't think of them. For instance, how can you be intimate with someone who you don't know? You can't. You can be lustful with someone you don't know. This is the world's way. This is the world's way of doing things. This is the devil's way of doing things. You can't be intimate with someone from a distance. Intimacy is essentially close. That's right. I can't be intimate with Carol if there's 25 feet between us. It's a practical impossibility. You have to be together. You can't be intimate with someone you don't know. One way to get to know God, there are others, but one way to really get to know him is to praise him. Because by praising him, essentially you're speaking out who he is, what he has done. Even prophetically, what he has yet to do. This teaches you God's character, God's nature. When you get to know him, you can be intimate with him. To be intimate, you need to come into his presence. Now, there's no easy way to define coming into God's presence. But normally, you'll know you've been there when suddenly, in the meeting, someone stands up and says, "Well, that's an hour gone. Happened in our church last week when we were in our church. And I stood up to preach and I had to say to them, that's an hour gone." And they went, "What?" They'd been praising and worshiping the Lord and lost in him totally for an hour and didn't even realize it. And there were more testimonies that night from people who had heard from the Lord about direction for their lives. You know, that's where you get those kind of things. You get direction, you get blessing, you even get healed in God's presence. That's why it's so important for us to get there. And that's why the devil has done everything he can to stop us getting there. And we help him out quite a lot in our churches. I had to give a strong word last week to our church because everything is so structured and ordered. You know, and it's an AOG Pentecostal church. It's not an Anglican or a any other kind of structure. It's supposed to be a charismatic church. Everything is kind of structured. And there's no room for the Lord to move. They program him out. Now, how many churches do that? They program out the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you have to stand back and just let God take over. And we did that last week because they gave us liberty in the meeting. And we just let God be God. And we played a few songs and, you know, and tinkled quite a bit. And people just got lost in God. They did it all on their own. It was beautiful. That blessed that church far more in that one night than anything we could ever say or sing or teach. Because they met with God. They met with the Lord. So, we're on a journey. I'll finish with this. Think of it that way, especially in your private times at home, right? Set out with a purpose. If you're going to praise God, then set out and praise God. And don't be put off by anything. Don't settle for half measures. Make it a goal to get right into the throne room. You are invited into the throne room. I tell you, you are welcome in God's throne room. You don't have to come in and grovel. You've already been made clean and acceptable. You can come into the Lord's presence with joy and singing, with your head held high, because of what he did for you, not because of what you did, but because of what he's done. But you can rely on that. You can trust in that. And you are invited into God's throne room. If you don't go into God's throne room, God misses you. That's a simple, practical thing to say, but God misses your presence. He wants your presence. He desires you. He must do. He sent his son to die for us. He must want us. He paid the highest price he could possibly pay for all of us. He must want us. So don't hold him at arm's length. Make it your intention from this day forward to go for God and get into his presence as often as you can. It'll be your blessing. It'll be you that be blessed. Because whilst there, he'll give to you and he'll bless you and you'll grow. And that's the end.